Several years ago now, I had a knee replacement. I replaced my right knee. Well, someone else replaced it. In fact, it's kind of a sort of a funny story with that because, you know, you're curious about what all they're going to do when they're in there, right? Well, at least I was. And so I thought, maybe I'll watch a video on how they actually do it, like a video of someone's having their knee replaced. I was advised against it. And I didn't. I'm glad I didn't because I probably don't like the idea of somebody taking a hammer and a rod and banging on it into my to my leg. But anyway, when I had that knee replaced, of course, you know, as you go through the whole rehabbing your knee and the new knee and trying to get the functionality back and, you know, being able to get the leg extension that you would like to have. Well, so I spent a lot of time in a chair as well as PT, as you can imagine. Well, the Lord brought to my mind when I was sitting in my office chair one day, I wonder what is up with Todd. Todd is an old college roommate of mine. And so then I'm like, I got nothing but time on my hands. So like any of you would probably do, I went to Facebook and I went to look for Todd. I couldn't find Todd, but I found someone that I thought was his daughter. Now, this could never go bad, right? It actually turned out okay, but I thought to myself, you know, this person's either going to think I'm a wacko looking for a date, or it's actually maybe his daughter, you know? So I sent this person that I thought was his daughter a message, say, hey, my name's Greg, I was a roommate with Todd and so on. I said, are you his daughter? If so, you know, would you mind giving him my phone number and seeing if he would like to reconnect or whatever? And if you're not, then just have a great day, you know? So I got a call within a day from Todd. And we reconnected and caught up on life and what's going on in his world and everything. And it just was really a fun time. And so, you know, when we got off that phone call, we said to each other, hey, let's stay in touch. Let's stay in touch. And we have. We have. In fact, almost, my wife can attest to this, that almost every Buckeye basketball game and football game, he and I are texting almost every play. We're big fans. In fact, he and I, my freshman year when we roomed together, we got season tickets to the men's basketball team, and we were down on the floor at the foul line. It was just best tickets ever. That would never happen these days, you know, unless you knew somebody. So we were both into the Buckeye sports, and so we have stayed in touch. In fact, he was here. He said, I'm going to be coming in town recently, And I said, well, you know, one of our other old roommates is also lives in town. His name's Donnie. Would you want to see if Donnie would want to, you know, get in touch? And he said, sure. So we had dinner together some Sunday night, and so we've stayed in touch. And so you know, so many times when you say, well, let's stay in touch, you don't, and that's life happens or whatever. But it's been a lot of fun staying in touch with Todd. And so sometimes randomly I'll just send him a message, you know, because I knew he shared something was going on in his life. And so all of this stuff about staying in touch does relate to the message today, believe it or not. And it has to do with staying in touch with God. And we've been going through these few messages on the topic of prayer. And I just thought, you know, this is the last one we're doing on prayer in this mini-series, and it'll be the last one that we'll do before the 21 days of prayer is up. But I hope that's not where the 21, like where the times of prayer end, that we would continually stay in touch with our Heavenly Father through prayer. And also go to the Father in prayer on one another's behalf and make that just more and more a part of our lives. And so when I titled the message, staying in touch, that's really what we're talking about, is just to have a life of prayer And again, not in any way are we trying to guilt anybody for not spending enough time in prayer or anything like that, because, you know, I'm sure we could all probably say, yeah, I could pray more. You know, that's just, I think that's fairly normal. But just to have this, if you will, gravity towards God and talking to him throughout the day. Because when you look at just these, towards the end of 1 Thessalonians, these few verses, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18, and so often, as Paul does at the end of his letters, he has some different things he wants to say, and he gets them in, you know, in kind of staccato fashion, boom, 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 and by the way, tell so-and-so I said hi, and all that kind of stuff, just like, you know, you and I might do in a letter, and he's doing it in a letter to folks at this church in Thessalonica. And so look at these few verses here. Rejoice always, here it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I like these verses for many reasons. First and foremost, they're in the Bible. So, you know, we like that as believers. But these are things that it says, this is God's will for you. Have you ever wondered, hey, God, what do you want me to do? Here, you know, how about this? Because this is God's will for you, right? He wants us to rejoice always, right, regardless of circumstances. And of course, you know, we find our joy in God regardless of what's happening around us. That's how we can rejoice always. But then he says, pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. So these are things we're to always be about doing, right? But I remember the first time I read these verses, I was thinking to myself, how can I obey that verse? I've got to work. I've got to go to class or whatever it was, you know. Pray without ceasing. I'm thinking to myself, you know, am I just supposed to stay in my closet all day on my knees? Is that what it means? I mean, you know, because it says pray without ceasing. But then you find other places in Scripture where we get commands to always be doing other things, and so you have to put two and two together and realize He's not literally meaning that you're supposed to, you know, close your eyes, clasp your hands, and that's all you're going to do all day long, okay? But it does have to do, kind of what I was saying earlier, just with that we would have an attitude of just staying in touch with God throughout the day, right? And you might have set times for prayer or whatever, and that's great, but also just to, you know, just like I was thinking about, like I've done with Todd, or you know, Linda and I are constantly just, you know, every now and then shooting texts to each other about communicating on things. And just think about that in your life with God, right? Your relationship with Jesus Christ, that, you know, you would just be thinking of him and talking to him throughout the day. Maybe it might be a request, you know, that you need help with. It might be just, you know, I'd found myself sitting in a chair the other day, and you might think I just sit in chairs now that I mentioned that. But I was sitting there just thinking about something that was going on in my life, and I was just talking to God silently about it. I wasn't, even at the time, I was realizing that I don't know that there's an answer to the problem I was thinking about, but I'm just talking to God about it. And I was struggling to kind of leave the thing at God's feet, so it was more of a worry. And so, but that's the kind of thing that when Paul says, pray without ceasing, I really think that's what he's getting at, is that kind of a life that just gravitates toward talking to God all throughout the day, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what the need is. So, because I think it's important that we realize, you know, what is he saying here when he says, pray without ceasing? So now, how to pray without ceasing? There's probably 100 different ways, but I thought of a few, as I prayed about this, and I think we see a few ways exemplified in Scripture on how to foster our prayer lives so that it would be on along the lines of praying without ceasing, this attitude. Now, the first thing that if we're going to be praying without ceasing that needs to happen is just we need to foster an attitude of dependence on God. Right? In other words, if you don't think you need God, you're not going to be praying, right? But if you know that you need God for everything and anything that's going on and you're dependent upon him, then the chances are you're going to be talking to him a lot. You're going to be, you know, taking your petitions to him. You're going to be taking your friends, your family to God in prayer, and you're going to be asking God for wisdom. I mean, just all throughout the day. And so we need to foster an attitude of dependence on God. And this can be challenging because sometimes we pride ourselves in being independent people, right? And it's a good thing to raise independent children, by the way. And, you know, you want your, you know, when we raise our children, we want them to be able to, you know, go out, get a job, keep a job, and be able to stand on their own two feet, you know, financially and otherwise. And that's a good thing. But we also want, at the same time, you know, ourselves, we want to teach our children and remind ourselves that we need to be dependent upon God. We need to rely on him, right? We need to go to him for everything. And so fostering this attitude of dependence, I thought of a number of ways that we can do that. And Charlie, this was just perfect. I mean, Charlie and I did not collaborate on the verses he was going to share, but you talked about abiding, right? This is perfect because abiding really is a way that we show our dependence on God, right? And so when we look at these verses here in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, where Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And that just really sticks out to me, and a lot of people remember that phrase, you know, apart from Christ and remaining in him and abiding and pursuing our relationship with Jesus and really, you know, staying in touch with him. Abiding is a key factor to that, where we are resting in him, we're remaining in him, as Charlie described it. And really this word relying is such a connector, I think, with abiding. If we're relying on God, we're depending on him, we're talking to him, that really shows the nature of an abiding relationship. And so, you know, I think a prayer for all of us, myself included, would be, "Lord, help me to be aware of your presence all throughout the day in whatever I'm doing. Just, I want to have a God awareness maybe more than I have been," right? Because I think if we're aware that God is with us, the fact that he is with us, and we're aware of his presence there with us, that we are going to be abiding, we're going to be relying on him, and therefore we're more likely to talk to him about things in that moment that are of concern to us. Now, this happens to me sometimes in the classroom at Columbus State when I'm teaching. And you know, teaching is not just about teaching. Teaching is about also students have real-life things happening that affect their classroom performance and and so I had something come up recently where I realized I needed to talk to a student out in the hallway about something was obviously wrong. I won't get into any of that. But you know, I was one of the uttering, I remember just uttering one of these little, I call them Nehemiah prayers. Okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, and I don't even know what the right response is, but would you help me? That's all it was. That's all it was. I mean, that's staying in touch. Right, and I don't always do that, by the way. You know, I'm not some super saint. You know, I plenty of times I'm just going it alone, without acknowledging or thinking about the Lord. So, but I guess I'm saying is let our prayer be, God, help us to be aware, more fully aware of your presence in everything we're doing, right? Now, another thing as we think about this is the idea of the Sabbath. Because, you know, when you observe the Sabbath, now, you know, we don't have to keep the Sabbath as a law anymore as believers, right? Christ fulfilled the law. But the thing is that the Sabbath principle is there, okay, in that the idea, Jesus even explains here, I'm just going to read some verses here in Mark 2, starting in verse 23. It says, one Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his, meaning Jesus' disciples, began to pluck heads of grain, and the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and he was hungry, and he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him? And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but this phrasing here, what Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, is just saying, listen, the Sabbath was made that one day out of seven, a day of rest, if you will, was part of the you know, this, it was creation ordinance, right? It's something that God rested on the seventh day, right? And so as a pattern, I believe that he wants us to have that, observe that Sabbath principle in some way in our lives. Because we're not really created to be working, 24/7, 365. That's not how we are made. But so many times, though, we find ourselves in that kind of a cadence in life, where we're always working, we're never off the clock, so to speak, and that's not good. That's not good for your spiritual life. That's not good for your relationship with God. You know, in fact, the thing is that. If one of the things that my wife and I try to do is, like, our Sabbath is, we take it on Saturdays because, you know, Sunday is a work day for me. And so Saturdays, we try to not do work, right? Work, you know, our regular work. Now, don't go legalistic on me here because I'm not thinking legalistic. Like, I mow the grass, I do a, you know what I mean? Like, historically, some people say you're not supposed to do anything like that. But that's, if you go along those lines, and you then you can become a Pharisee, right? If you're not careful, all right. So, but the thing is that we try to at least make sure we're spending some extra time with God. We try to do some things that are going to fill our emotional tanks, our spiritual tanks, so to speak. Things that that we know that we're going to enjoy because you know, that's, I think, part of what the Sabbath is to be, is we're to get recharged. And we're supposed to, again, we're talking about dependency on God right now, right? And this is a way we can pray without ceasing, is to make sure we're dependent upon him. Well, listen, when you decide that you're going to have some kind of a Sabbath, maybe it's just even a portion of a day, you know, that what you're doing is you're deciding that, you know, God can still run the world without me. Surprise. Okay, and in my work, it's still going to be there, okay? And God can help me get it done when it needs to get done, that I don't have to do it right now, that I'm really trusting him to help me to do it at a time when I'm supposed to be working rather than the time when I'm going to be focusing on taking some time to Sabbath. So I mentioned this because I think that sometimes... And it depends on you. You just have to pray about this. You know, are you taking some time in your schedule where you're regularly focused in on God, maybe more than your normal quiet time, or doing some things where you're just not going to be doing your normal work stuff, okay? Where you can disengage from that and trust God and depend upon him that work will get done in its time, okay? And so I think, observing a Sabbath principle is one of the key things too that we can increase and develop this attitude of depending on God. Okay? Now, another thing that can foster an attitude of dependence is just obedience, right? Whenever we see something in Scripture that calls us to obedience in something, right, and we step out and obey, we're trusting and depending upon God that He knows what's best, right? Even if sometimes some things don't make sense to us, we decide to trust Him. That's dependence, right? And so dependence and trust and obedience, they go hand in hand, right? Because you obey God because because He is God, and also you know He can be trusted. And so, again, trying to think of ways here that increase and foster a dependence upon God. And obedience, Sabbath, and abiding are going to help us do that, right? And as we do those things, we're more likely going to be engaging in a life of unceasing prayer, where we're going to be talking to Him throughout our day. All right. Now, second thing is that I think one of the ways that we can be praying without ceasing is to plan times of prayer. Plan times of prayer. And, you know, as a church, we have planned times of prayer, right? The second Thursday of each month, we have a prayer time back in the fellowship hall at 7:15. It goes for about an hour. And so we plan that in because, you know, it's like anything else. If you don't put it in to the schedule, a lot of times it just doesn't happen, right? And this is when we have our class 201, when we talk about developing habits that will help us grow spiritually. When we get to the area of devotional life, we talk about how it's important for you to plan in a time and a place and to have some sort of plan for how that time is going to go. You know, whether it's a reading plan or some devotional book you're using or something, right? There has to be something. You have to, because it just doesn't happen. If your life is like mine, things will fill up your time. You know, someone else will put demands upon you if you do not put it in your calendar. So maybe one of the times, well, before I get into that, let me just mention some of these scriptures here in the book. Well, here we've got Luke 5:16. Speaking of Jesus, it said, but He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Another version says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And that word often stuck out to me, is that, you know, this is a regular part of the Son of God's life. He regularly got away for times of prayer. And I don't know about you, but I'm no better than Jesus for sure. And if He needed regular times with the Father, you know, we do more so, right? And so, you know, just think about if there is, if there are some regular times you could build in a prayer into your life. You could see the believers in the book of Acts, how this was a part of their lives. It says, now Peter and John, this is Acts 3:1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And you see this kind of phrasing happen a couple of times in the book of Acts. And so this would tend to point us towards that there may have been set times for prayer in the church. And that may have been a carryover from the Jews, okay, where there were set times of prayer, right? But here it says at the hour of prayer. So if there's something called the hour of prayer, then it's a regular time, right? I don't know of any other way to think about that. And then we have Acts 16:16. It says, as we were going to the place of prayer, okay, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. But look at that. There was a place of prayer where the believers gathered together. And so therefore you have to think about there must have been some kind of a regular time where they gathered together at this particular place. And then I want to mention this here in Acts 10:9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. My interpretation of this, my thought of this, is that it's not just a mere happenstance that it was the sixth hour and then he prayed. I think it was one of those set prayer times, okay? And so so all of this to say is that there is definitely at least some precedent here in the scriptures for having some kind of regular prayer times, right? And not in some kind of legalistic way, but just in a way that we could be more purposeful and intentional, right? So how could you maybe, I mean, there's just so many ways you could incorporate this into your life, right? Maybe you do a morning and an evening time in prayer, right? You start off your day maybe in your devotional time, and as a part of that, you're spending some time in prayer, right? And then maybe at the close of the day, close of the day is not a bad time to do it because, you know, all the things that have happened, maybe some of those things you need to take to God. Maybe there's even some confession that needs to be had where you need to get some things right with God, and so on from the day. Certainly meal times, right, can be not just a time where you're thanking God for the food, but maybe you can take an opportunity to lift up an intercessory prayer, somebody that is on your prayer list, right? And take those to the Lord. So, you know, there's just different ways you can incorporate this purposefully in your life. This has been the 21 days of prayer with these different topics been very helpful because it helps us focus on different areas, right? And so you could take this idea of 21 days of prayer, and you could maybe be more purposeful in your times that you are setting up to pray regularly, morning and evening, or morning, noon, and night, or the meals in the morning, however you do it, right? And you could say, okay, on Mondays, I'm going to pray for my family members. On Tuesdays, I'm going to pray for my small group members. On Thursdays, I'm going to pray evangelistic for friends that I'm reaching out to. I mean, it's so you just have some kind of regular way that you're getting through things, right? But again, not to over-systematize things, but it's more of like, I'll share a little story here with a point. And in this, when one of our in one of our discipleship groups, let me back it up. We're doing some of the discipleship groups, and our church is part of a cohort of other churches around the country where we're getting some training on leading discipleship groups. And someone asked in the cohort on a Zoom call, they asked, hey, you know that tool that your church uses, this other church uses, it's more of like an evangelistic tool to have some spiritual conversations with people. He said, some of the guys in my group, felt like that might be a little outdated or whatever. It wasn't a strong criticism. It was just this. So they were like, do you have any other suggestions of tools we could use? And I love what the person said. He said, well, I know what the person who designed the curriculum would say. I'll just tell you that. Because they said the person who designed the curriculum would say, well, use whatever is going to be helpful for you. Doesn't matter if you use their tool or not. But the other thing he said is that he would say that the creator of the curriculum would say is that I like the tool that I use better than the tool you don't. And I thought that was good, right? I mean, it was good. So the connection with prayer here is that, you know, you could say that you could import that same thinking. He says, well, I like the intentionality that I have rather than the one you don't, you know, having some kind of a plan. Doesn't matter what it is, right? But you'll have a much better chance of having more regular prayer life and this idea of unceasing prayer. Does that make sense? So just having some kind of a, you know, and certainly this unceasing prayer, pray without ceasing, there's totally a lot of spontaneity about that, right? But also making sure that we're purposeful and intentional and having some set times, maybe if it's just one, right, throughout the day. Now, the last thing I want to mention here is to don't give up. Don't give up, right? And we don't want to give up on the consistency that maybe you've gained in your prayer life through this 21 days of prayer. It's kind of like, you know, if you've been participating in this, use the momentum to carry you forward, right? And to not give up. And maybe you've like, maybe you haven't prayed every day. That doesn't matter, okay? It's just the matter is, you know, would you just, you know, I hope you'd be the kind of person that would say, well, it doesn't matter if I miss 2 days. I'm just going to hop in where I am, right? I had to resolve that in my mind when it came to these Bible reading plans, okay? Is that, you know, I'm not going to get all, excuse me, anal about it. And if I don't read if I miss a few days and I'm just throw up my hands. No, you know what I do is I just jump in on the current day and then just say, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to worry about I miss it. That's not what it's about anyway. It's about spending time with God. And I'm hoping that if this has been, this 21 days of prayer has been an encouragement to you to be more intentional in your prayer life, is to don't give up, keep it going on. And we look here at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, 6:18, which says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Do you see that? Praying at all times. That is definitely praying without ceasing, isn't it? Praying at all times. And then he says, in the Spirit. And I don't think that this is speaking of like speaking in some sort of tongue. This is not speaking in some sort of like the gift of tongues or something. I think this particular praying in the Spirit is like pray in accordance with the Spirit, right? In other words, you know, pray as the Spirit leads. Sometimes you'll hear people say that, right? I think that's the, quote, small s, Spirit of this. The Spirit of this is to just, you know, go with the flow of the Spirit in your prayer life, right? Ask him to fill you and guide you, even in your prayers, right? And he will do that. But praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, I take that to mean like all kinds of prayers, right? All kinds of prayers, intercessory prayers where you're taking people to God in your prayer life. You're calling out to God, as we mentioned here with your lamentations, right? You're lamenting before God and you're, you know, all types of prayers and supplication. And he says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. So he's exhorting these believers to pray in the Spirit, but to keep alert, to persevere, to keep going, right? To keep praying and make supplication, it says, for all the saints. And so this is important that we realize, you know, hey, our enemy, Satan, he would love nothing more than for you to stop praying. He would love for nothing more than you for to kind of give up and say, well, I'm not seeing anything happen. Well, again, we don't know how this all works together, right? The sovereignty of God in our prayer lives, but he uses our prayers. We know that. We're commanded to pray, so therefore we know he uses our prayers. And so we, on faith, offer those prayers. And so we need to make sure that we're not giving up in prayers. And, you know, in Luke chapter 18, at the beginning of this parable, he says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And certainly other translations say, and not give up. So not losing heart in our prayer lives, right? And so don't let the devil get you down, right? If this has been an area, and probably for most of us, where it's not where we want it to be, hey, make one little change. Make one little change, right? We can get sometimes so overwhelmed by like, you know, oh, I gotta make these categories like Pastor Greg said, and now I gotta put them on a certain day. And well, if you want to do that, great. But I don't care how you do it, right? Just do one thing that's gonna help you be more of a person who's praying without ceasing. Okay? You know, and ask God to help you be a person who's relying on him more, because when you rely on him more, we will be praying more. There's no question, right? And so And I think probably the biggest challenge for us as believers is to be relying on God when things are going well. Because the tendency is when things are going really well, we're just kind of like, hey, I got this, man. Well, not really, but that's, I think that's our tendency. And so just to keep relying on God, you know, in the good times, right, praise him for what he's doing, right, for what he has done. And so don't give up. Don't give up. Keep persevering in your prayer life, because this is really a major weapon in spiritual warfare is prayer, okay? And we have to recognize that, you know, to think about it. It's like, you know, think about going into sending soldiers into battle without weapons. You know, that's just ludicrous. You never think of doing that, right? And so we should not think that we can go through our life with God without this weapon of prayer, right? And how critical it is. But it really does build our relationship with God. So really, here, what were the things we mentioned, right? Foster an attitude of dependence upon God. Plan times of prayer, right? Be intentional in some way, in a way that you're not already. And then don't give up, right? Make sure you persevere in prayer, and make sure you realize that we need to keep coming to God and to not lose heart, right? And trust him with the outcome, okay? All right, so let's just go to the Lord here as we close. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and just acknowledge before you, just wanting to stay in touch with you, God, more and more. We want to grow in our walk with you. We want to grow in our relationship with you. And such a big part of that is prayer, is talking to God. And so, Lord, just help us to be more at ease at talking with you. If maybe we're someone who's really just has not been that comfortable speaking to you for various reasons. But God, help us to overcome any inhibitions that we have in talking to you, and help us to see that you urge us to pray about everything. You say there in Philippians 4 to pray about everything, so we don't have to worry that God doesn't care about this little thing that I'm concerned about. He is concerned. He wants to hear from us. So, Lord, thank you that you invite us to come. And, Lord, thank you for the 21 days of prayer and the remaining days that we have. We thank you for having this focused time. And, God, help us to be ones who are just carry that momentum that we may have gained just in our prayer lives forward, and that we could just continue to grow in our walk with you, be people who are more dependent upon you, and be people who are praying without ceasing. Lord, help us to live more like that. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you that our relationship with you is not performance-based, but to see that there are just so many incredible, incredible benefits from just growing in our prayer life, from talking to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.